Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for the morning of July 30th. Good morning. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I'm joined by the wonderful John Krause. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing great. I luckily had regular coffee this morning. I didn't have decaf. Nobody messed it up on me, so I'm ready to go. I'm actually fully awake.
Yes, a lot of people seemed like they would be very annoyed. I don't drink coffee, so I wouldn't know, but is that like a big deal?
Yeah, you know what? I was, okay, well, let's set the stage if people don't know. I guess we'll get right into it. So, like, the biggest news right now, I guess, is that there was, like, a prank. Paul and I believe Matt was in on it, maybe Josh. They decided that they were going to really mess with Cody's life, and they were going to put Vaseline on things that he touches and also mix the regular and the decaf coffee, because Cody's the first one who wakes up in the morning. And a lot of people think this is, like, really stupid and no big deal, but I am a full-on coffee addict, and I'm like, this is a big deal. I think mixing your coffees, that's a crime. That's the thing that you get removed from the house for.
Yes, Derek in the chat says it was a slow day. Yes, you can tell by what we're starting off with. Not a whole, especially compared to yesterday when a lot of stuff was going down. It's mostly just general fallout. So we're here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the feeds, and the coffee thing, probably the most exciting thing that happened. But we start the day off with Paul talking to Jason. He was telling Jason, hey, if I win the power of veto, I will take you off the block. But here's the thing. I want you to make a speech against Cody when I do so to make it clear that he's the target and that Jess is safe, because we're still trying to convince Jess to not use this halting hex this week.
Yeah, I think that there is still some interesting gameplay left to see this week, even though Cody is definitely the big target, because there's this whole thing about will Jess use the halting hex or won't she? And it's really getting into Paul's head about whether or not he understands what the power actually is. We've seen Jessica talk to people like Elena and Christmas and even to Paul himself about what the power is and does, but she's kind of not been consistent. And so it's really kind of driving Paul crazy. So he wants, more than anything, to make sure that she doesn't use the power and that Cody is the one that goes home. And so this whole using it on Jason and getting two speeches against Cody in one sort of go, that's part of the same Paul strategy to keep focus on Cody and to convince Jessica not to use the hex.
Yes. So ultimately, the people who played in the veto were Cody, Jessica, Paul, Jason, Raven, and Kevin. And Paul wins this thing. He wins it. Cody actually does pretty well for somebody that didn't study, which raises a bit of suspicion. But Paul, surprise, surprise, Paul wins the competition that he won last year as well.
Yeah, there was a nice little moment between Cody and Jessica last night where they were talking about the competition. And he was like, how was the scoring system? Like, how did it work? And then Jessica was like, I think you got 1 point per question. And Cody was like, I got 15 questions right? Like, how did that happen? He was like, Jesus Christ. Like, even Cody was surprised that he did as well as he did. I'm a little bit surprised at Cody this week. He's been, I don't really know where his head is at in terms of strategy. He didn't play in the, what are we calling it? The temptation competition. He didn't play in that. He didn't study very hard for the veto. He seems like he doesn't want Jess to use the power to save him. He only wants her to use it if she's going to save herself. So I think maybe we're seeing Cody kind of his head's not in the game so much anymore.
It's really not. All of his concentration is on Jessica at the moment. It's a shame, because he got 15 points. If he had studied, who knows, he probably could have won this veto, which probably wouldn't have made too much of a difference, but you never know, you know. And if he had won the safety and then he had played in the veto, or if Jess had won the safety and then he had played in the veto and he had won this veto, they could both be safe. They wouldn't have to use the halting hex this week to keep themselves safe. What are you doing? What are you doing?
It's disappointing, because aside from Paul, and we will talk about Paul really playing his hand by winning another effing competition, but aside from him, we've really seen that Cody and Jessica are the best competition players this season, hands down. So there definitely is a path where one of them could have won easily. Like, neither of them played in the temptation competition. One of them could have won that, and then one of them could have won the veto, and then there is a situation where both of them would have been safe this week, and then Jessica still would have had the halting hex to use next time. But as it looks now, the only way that both of them will be safe is if she uses it, and if she doesn't use it, then one of them, most likely Cody, is the one who's going to go home.
Yes. And yeah, you queued this up. Paul winning this veto, I am not a fan at all. I didn't like him winning this HOH. I definitely don't like him winning this veto. I think he's playing very well. I've compared his game to like a much worse version of Derek's game. But I've also said it could also go the way of Pauly, who is also on that trajectory. And this is much more Pauly than Derek to me, winning all these competitions and going like, what are you doing? Spending all this social capital, spending all of this effort, like building yourself up as this big target. This is definitely scheduled for a downfall, right, John?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't substantiated, but I saw on the internet someone said that that Paul is now tied for the most competition wins in the first 5 weeks of the game, which I have no way to substantiate, but I would believe that that's true. He's won 2 HOHs and he's won 2 vetoes, and it's only week 5. Like, that's so much. And he's doing a great job. You know, people, we always talk about how Paul has such a firm grasp on this house right now. And he definitely has all his little minions. But it's still a long game. Like, and Paul is the one who'll tell you this. He tells Jason, he tells Matt, he tells Mark, like, oh, this is only day 39 or whatever. Like, we still have 60 days to go. And he's going to have to continue to win if he wants to go further, because he's just gonna, like, people know that he's already won 4 competitions and it's only been 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing I think a lot of players tell themselves this, especially vets who feel like, oh, I'm playing too aggressively, but I feel like I have to. And I feel like if I don't play every week and if I'm not winning these competitions, then I'll go home or I'll be in trouble. But that's definitely not the case with Paul. He doesn't need to be winning these competitions, but he does feel like he has to. And ultimately, if his downfall comes, I think this is going to be a big part of it. This inability to just calm down and not have to win these competitions.
Yeah, to his credit, I will say that he's done a good job of spinning that narrative to the house. It's not just in the diary room. He actually was saying last night to Mark, for example, that he doesn't want to do this, but he has to do it. He keeps saying, I don't want to be the one. He's been kind of hanging a lampshade on it. He's been saying, like, I don't want to be the one who won 2 HOHs and 2 vetoes, but I had to do it for the betterment of the house. I had to do it to get Cody out. And for better or worse, it is working now, but I don't know if it can go indefinitely.
Yes. So Paul also was talking about how he wants to go into the diary room and ask them about Jessica's temptation, because basically what he said was, because she's not allowed to lie about it, he can go into the diary room and ask them questions about specific conversations he had with Jessica to be like, was she lying? Is this true? And he feels like that will get him some answers. Ultimately, he does get somewhat of an answer last night, where they said nobody is guaranteed safety for up to 3 weeks. That is not true. And he, I think, expects some more answers to come later. So he's trying to confirm what this temptation is. Ultimately, doesn't really matter, because it's probably going to get used anyway, and none of this week is going to matter anyway. So I don't know if it matters a whole lot, but it was the talk of the town yet last night. Paul going to the DR, trying to ask him questions.
Yeah, that was sort of one of the big conversations last night. You know, it's funny, we've been comparing Paul. We've been saying, is he Derek or is he Pauly? But I think he might be Chrissy. I think he's the one now who's he's got to consult the rule book. This whole thing is really messing him up, which is funny, because just a few weeks ago, Paul was spinning a lot of lies, or we'll say misinformation, about his power. When his 3-week safety expired, he was the one going around the house implying, like, well, maybe it was 4 weeks. Maybe I didn't activate it until such and such a date, so maybe I'm safe for a little while longer. But now that the shoe's on the other foot, he's really, really freaking out. And so he is talking to production, which I guess if I were in his position, I'd want to know all the information that I could. But it's like, you know, do you really want production to play the game for you? Like, they're already throwing you all of these temptation competitions and all these other things. Like, how much is production really just going to hand this to you? But it was a big topic of conversation last night, and I don't think that it really bore a lot of fruit. He came out of the diary room and started telling people, he was talking to Elena and Mark, like, oh, now we know that it doesn't give anyone safety for 3 weeks. But then they were saying, like, yeah, but that doesn't really tell us anything. We don't really know what the power actually does.
Yeah, I think basically what he's looking for is anything that Jessica says that is a lie, production will clarify because they told her that she's not allowed to lie.
Right.
So if he asks about a conversation and he says, is this true? Is this a lie? They will confirm if it's a lie. Otherwise, they're not going to tell him specifics, as far as I'm aware. And that's kind of what he's looking for, kind of trying to nail this down as much as possible. But again, ultimately, it's not going to really matter. Because whether he knows it's coming or not, the outcome is the same. So we also had Elena had a conversation with Mark where she's sort of further solidifying this breakup, so to speak. We need to separate ourselves. The perception needs to be that we're separate in this game. And Mark is sad about this. He cries.
Surprise. Mark is a little bit sad. Yeah, that took up a lot of the feeds last night was they had this conversation. And it's not the first night or even the first time that that Elena has tried to separate herself from Mark. Mark just really doesn't want to hear it. He really is attached to Elena, both strategically and also emotionally. And it's funny because after they talked for what felt like an hour, he went up to Paul and was like, Paul, what do I do? What do you think? Like he's so dependent on Paul, just like a lot of these other players, to tell him how he should feel and how he should react. But the funniest thing overall was that I felt like Elena was trying to say, I don't want to work with you. She was trying to break up with him emotionally, but she was saying in the game, I'll still have your back. Like that seemed to be the way I took her conversation. I don't want to date you anymore, but I still have your back in the game. And then he went upstairs and Mark got it completely backwards. He was telling Paul, he was like, emotionally, we're fine. Like, we're going to be fine. But like, she wants the perception of the house to change. And we want it to look like we're not working together. But like, we're going to be fine. And it's like, no, I think that's the opposite. Like, it's just not going through into his head.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Elena kind of wants is like she's talked about it before that like she doesn't really necessarily feel the same way about him. He's definitely somebody that's very attached. He has very strong feelings for her that she doesn't necessarily reciprocate. And I think she took the events of the last few days as an excuse to be like, yeah, we should maybe like distance. Like you're stuck in this house with this person, like this person. She already went too far with him and now she wants to dial it back a little, but it's hard when you're stuck in the same house as them. So she's kind of using this as like, all right, well, let's chill for now.
Yeah.
Once we get out of the house, we can go on a date, see how it goes, because then she has the freedom to say no and then walk away. But she also doesn't want to hurt his feelings. I think she does genuinely care. She was upset when he was crying about it.
Right.
Like she doesn't like, it's a weird situation to be in where it's like, I don't dislike you. I don't like want to say no forever necessarily, but we are stuck in the same house and I don't necessarily want you like hugging and kissing me all the time either. So like, it's a weird situation. It's awkward to have to watch.
It's a pretty unique situation too. Like Big Brother has always been the show of showmances. We know that production, that CBS really likes to push these showmances, but I think that we've never really seen a full on showmance sort of breakdown before. And I'm sure people in the comments will correct me if I'm wrong. We do have times like BB18 where Victor and Natalie, before the feeds even came on, they kind of had like a flirty thing, but it didn't pan out. But like, we have right now, Jessica and Cody are, the entire house is trying to get them to break up. And then we also have Elena and Mark that are, they're actually kind of crumbling. And I don't know that we've ever really seen this happen in the house before. And it's interesting. It reveals sort of the dark side of the showmance. Showmances can be valuable. It can give you something to do in the house for 100 days. And it can also give you a partner, someone that you know that you can trust, which we've seen people like Nicole most recently, that helped her a lot. That helped her get to the end and it helped her win. But we've never really seen one that I can think of just completely start to fall apart. And I don't even know if it's the best move for Elena at this point. Because now, again, it's like the perception of the house. It's like if Elena is cutting off her one ride or die person, how is that going to look later on? Like if Elena wants to hook up and be a ride or die with somebody else, they're going to be like, oh, well, she cut off Mark. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know if it's the best move for her.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, she, like you said, like she wants to maintain the game relationship. She still wants to work with him.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, she's gotten to a point where it's like, this is just not working for me in terms of the affection and closeness and emotional attachment. I think we need to just back off a little there. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, Mark does go to Paul after this and asks for Paul's advice. Hey, Paul, what should I, give me advice on my game. What should I do? And I remember Steve did this a lot in Big Brother 17. He'd ask people for advice as a way to like get them to feel more powerful than him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I am just this weakling who's asking for advice and you are some knowledgeable player. It's going to make them feel better about themselves. And it sometimes worked with Steve. It sometimes set people off and rubbed them the wrong way. It absolutely works with Paul though, because yeah. Paul 100, this is exactly what Paul wants. Like, oh, I'll tell you exactly what to do. So Paul tells Mark, look, you need to just stay separate from Cody, lie low, let other people make some mistakes, because that's been the way that Paul's been playing, which is like, the second someone makes a mistake, Paul jumps on it and he turns them into a target. Christmas was a target for a week or so, but she was able to lie low enough that when Mark and Elena made a mistake, they became the target instead. So now Mark and Elena are in the hot seat and Paul's essentially telling Mark, dude, just lie low, hope that somebody else makes a mistake and that we target them first. And obviously Mark doesn't see it as that bluntly, but it's pretty good advice for Mark, right?
Yeah, lots to unpack there. I do think that it is good advice for Mark to lay low. And I would say generally in the Big Brother house that laying low is usually a good thing to do. And I think the Steve comparison is good there. I don't know if I want to give Mark this credit, that the Steve credit. I don't think that he was using that as a strategy against Paul.
No, definitely not.
I think
not.
He actually looks up to Paul and wants advice, because after that conversation, he was like, Paul, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad production brought you back. Like, you're so smart. You know all this stuff. But then on the flip side, I think that if Mark was using that as a strategy, it would be a great strategy, because Paul's ego loves to be stroked. And I think one of the keys to this game, one of the many keys on the keychain of what it takes to be successful in the Big Brother house, is knowing what buttons to push on people, and not only how to agitate them, but also how to stroke them, and what kind of sort of language do they speak. And Paul definitely speaks the language of ego stroking and elevation. And so that's why that helps. I don't know if Mark knew that he was helping himself there, but he's definitely now a little bit higher, or a little bit lower rather, on Paul's radar because of that.
Yeah. And, you know, as I mentioned Christmas, we've got some people in the chat that Paul is saying in the chat, Paul and Kevin were trash talking Christmas, which is true. You know, Christmas is a little bit back on the radar. Paul especially talking about, like, she's not going to be able to help us win any competitions down the road. Like, she's not super valuable here. So we could see Christmas go before Mark and Elena, but I still feel like ultimately Paul's going to want to take at least one of those people out before Christmas. We'll see. You will see what Paul wants to do. It's all Paul's choice. So Jessica talks to Cody basically all day. They just work together all day. Yeah. Very little hint of the conflict from yesterday. Jessica essentially saying, I feel like your reaction was too much, but she's basically completely backed off. She went for the kill. She was like, this is unacceptable. You can't do this. And she immediately backed away and is now just like, well, you know, it's fine. I mean, I don't agree with it, but whatever. I don't want to break up. I lied. Cody called her bluff, and now they're fine.
I would say that my analysis of Jessica is that I don't think she liked how any of that played out, obviously, and she's upset. But I think what it comes down to for her, and she said as much to somebody the other day, but she doesn't want to be the reason that Cody goes out, when Cody is the one person who's never not had her back. For better or worse, Cody has talked about falling on his sword for her, and I believe that he would definitely do that. Cody is willing to lose for Jessica. And we've had, you know, Jessica and Christmas, they hated each other, then they were friends, then they hated each other. As of right now, they seem like they're friends again. I know Jessica's getting really close with Elena. Like, she's building a lot of these relationships, but the only person that from day one until day, whatever it is, 40, that has had her back is Cody. And I don't think Jessica would be able to sort of live with herself if she was the reason, through action or inaction, that Cody went out. So, you know, will they date outside of the house? Maybe, maybe not. I don't really care, to be honest. But I don't think that she's going to be the one to pull that trigger and send him home, which is why I do think ultimately she probably will use the hex this week.
Yes, and that seems to be the consensus. She has told him that she's planning on using it. She told Kevin that she's still undecided, but I think ultimately we're going to see Jessica use the halting hex, and there will be no eviction come this Thursday, which again is the right decision, although I still think that she thinks it's the wrong move, which is strange. So we have Paul and friends. They're talking about, all right, well, here's what we tell Jessica to convince her to not use it. If you use the halting hex, then we go after you next week instead of Cody. We leave Cody in the game because nobody likes Cody. His social game is terrible. You can reintegrate. So we'll go after you. You won't even make jury because you use this halting hex to save Cody. Do you really want to make that move? Do you think this is going to work, John?
I think that it's a good play on that side of the house's part, on Paul's part. I think that's a good threat to make. But I don't know if it's going to end up playing. It's one of those things where it's you know, it's one of those bounce check moves that Mike Boogie's always talking about. It's all well and good to say that we're going to make you the target. And maybe they even mean it. Maybe they mean that if she uses the hex, that she'll become the next target. But who knows? If she uses that hex, they have to run the whole HOH over again. We do know one of the few clarifications is that Paul won't be able to play in next week's HOH one way or the other because he still had a week as the HOH. And so who knows who's going to win HOH next week and how that could play out. Maybe Jessica or Cody wins HOH, and then we're looking at 2-3 weeks down the road before Jessica's even vulnerable again, and the whole house could be shaken up. So even though I think it's a good play, I think that's probably their best play to get inside Jessica's head, and I do think that they probably intend for that to be true. It's one of those things where we don't know if they'll ever get an opportunity to make good on that promise. You can't really strategize too far down the road there. It's really about how does Jessica get through this week and what's her best play. I had a really good conversation with my girlfriend earlier about whether or not she should use it. And I think in a vacuum, it's definitely true that she should use it because it keeps herself and a definite ally in the house, two people who can have shown that they can win comps. And also you just can't be sure of where it would be. What if she doesn't use it and then they go back on their word immediately and vote her out? I would take guaranteed safety for at least 1 or 2 more weeks over a promise of safety for a while.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that the plan to try to get her to not use it is a decent one. But the problem is you cannot say straight up to Jessica, if you use the halting hex, then we're going after you next, because that's a direct threat and she is not going to respond well to that.
Sure.
She's not going to send her boyfriend home because you threatened her and she's too scared. She would never live that down. Like, that's not something that she can accept as a person. If they want this to work, which I still don't think it will, but if they want it to have the best chance of working, they need to have it be introduced in a very subtle way. Tell it to somebody like Christmas and Elena, who then talk to her and they can be like, listen, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but they're really annoyed about this halting hex thing. And like, I could potentially see them going after you instead of Cody next week if you ended up using it, because they'll be so mad. Whereas if you didn't use it, that would be a sign of good faith and they would really appreciate that and they would keep you safe. Because in those terms, Jessica's feeling like she has the agency there.
Right.
She's making the decision to either appease them or to piss them off. Whereas if they confront her with it, that's their decision and she's capitulating to what they want. But either way, I still think there's not much of a chance she's going to use that, or she's
it
not
also, it also, it creates a situation where you're already in an adversarial relationship. When you confront Jessica and you say, if you don't do this, we're going to do this for you. Then in her head, it's like, well, they're already against me. And so am I going to do what they say or am I not going to do what they say? I think there's a lot of other ways that this week could have played out. Once they knew that Jessica had the power, once they felt like they did, they really could have tried to weaponize that and use it. Like, why not go after some of these people in the middle? We know that Paul kind of wants to get rid of Mark soon and possibly Elena soon after that. And I don't think that Jessica would be willing to throw her game away for them the way that she might be for Cody. Like, they really could have gone after like a third party target and tried to use the week to build more of a coalition between them, you know? So I think there's been a lot of missed opportunities with this whole thing.
Yes. All right. So we also had Kevin and Paul talking last night. They were, again, talking about their whole alliance that they've got. Kevin went to Paul and said, look, Alex told me that Raven told her that Raven wants a final five of her, Matt, Alex, Jason, and you, which where am I? Where am I in that final right. five? That's no good. And Paul said, whoa, that's weird, because Raven told me that Alex is the one that proposed that final five. And so they essentially agree that, you know, Raven's probably lying. We trust Alex more than Raven here. And so Raven got a little bit caught there. But I don't think it really matters. Paul essentially tells Kevin, I don't like to get involved in those conversations because it doesn't matter. That the final five is so far away that it's dumb to be making final fives right now. It's more about individual relationships, which is, again, it's Paul's experience here is really paying off for him because he's not getting caught in these kinds of lies.
Right. Well, plus he also, you know, he made the final two, so he knows every step of the game and he knows what mistakes he made and he knows when those relationships matter more versus numbers and things like that. This is one of the aspects of the game that I think I'd be really, really bad at. I have a hard time following this stuff. If I ever played Big Brother, the whole telephone thing where someone said that Raven said that Alex said that a final five didn't include Kevin. You just said it to me and I have no idea what you just said, but I do think that either way, it kind of it's more far down the road. Like, it's not the kind of thing that really matters so much right now, especially since they do have the numbers and it does seem like they're still trying to get Cody out, trying to get Jessica out. Paul has been laying a little bit of groundwork to start having Matt and Raven possibly be targets. He has been not so subtle talking about how there's a few people floating and a few people that have done absolutely nothing. And he's been saying those things to Mark and to Elena. So I think that he's beginning to sort of lay that groundwork to get people talking about them. And it's funny that you mentioned Raven, because there are a couple people that are starting to see that she's lying. There are a couple people. I think it was yesterday that Paul said to Christmas something like, I'm sick of Raven's effing fake disease or something like that. Like, they're starting to get sick of her whole shtick. And they're starting to doubt how many diseases that she has that are fatal. And I think that it was a good strategy for her early on to be playing those things up and get the sympathy thing. But people are starting to tire of it now. And it would do Raven well to sort of dial back on that if it's possible that she can do that.
Yeah, keep on the lookout for Kevin, because he really is playing pretty well here. He's at the center of these two different sides within this big majority. And he is putting in good work to talk to Paul and be like, hey, look, because for Paul, like, Matt and Raven are Paul's people. It's Paul. They're Paul's ammunition. They're not going to bat for Kevin. And Kevin is putting doubt in Paul's mind about them and getting Paul to trust Alex and Jason more, because Kevin feels like he's got Alex and Jason more. The only thing about Kevin's game right now is that Kevin is not aware of how angry Alex is with Kevin and how done with him that she is, because she's talked for the last few days about, like, Kevin, he really pisses me off sometimes. She still feels like he lied to her about the vote that never really came out. He was never able to defend himself. And so Alex still feels like, I want to maybe get Kevin out somewhat soon. I don't think that'll actually happen, because who's going to really waste a week on Kevin? But if he feels like, I'm going to protect Alex and Jason because they're in my corner, I think he needs to be a little more cautious about that, because Alex is not as loyal to him as he thinks, and that could be the one flaw in his current plan if he wants to move forward. But man, I like the way he's playing.
Oh yeah, sure. When we did the round table last time, we talked about how Kevin is definitely doing really, really well. I recently talked to Aman and Cam from the So You Think You Can podcast people, and we kind of gave a letter grade to everybody, and we gave Kevin like the highest grade. I do think that his game is not perfect, but I think that if anyone's going to take out Paul, it'll probably be Kevin. Kevin doesn't even know who Paul is, right? When he came in the house, he was like, who's that? Who's that? Like, he has no affiliation with Paul. He's working with Paul because it's best for him right now. And a lot of people are doing that. But I think that the second that Kevin doesn't need Paul anymore, Kevin won't care. And I do think that Alex might be a weak spot there. But Kevin's great with words. He's great with talking. And I think he has a really good read on the house. So all it'll take is a little bit of a hint that he needs to sort of smooth things over with Alex. And I think that I believe that he has the ability to do that. You know, I mean, like, think about if you were Alex and Kevin comes to you and like really opens his heart up and whatever. Like, how could you stay mad at Kevin? Another thing that Kevin's doing that I really appreciate is, so Alex and Jason are really good at studying. They study the days every night. And Kevin's always in that room, and he always talks about how he doesn't understand or he doesn't care or he doesn't see the point in it, but he's always there. He never participates. He always kind of just like looks like he's dozing off, but he's always in the room when they're doing that studying. I think Kevin has all of those days memorized. I think he knows everything that's going on, and I think that it's really his game to lose at this point. Yeah. But I'm biased.
If Kevin is able to win a lot of those memory comps down the road, then he really is probably the most dangerous player in the house right now. But let's move on. Elena, she is a have not, and she chose to take that temptation. She became a have not for 2 weeks. Every single person other than Paul that first week have become 2 week have nots. This isn't even in the show. It's just like a blip on a daily live feed update. I don't know why they're still doing this. But Elena is a have not for 2 weeks. So there you go.
It's funny because they showed it in the show when Paul did it. So it was almost like they were going to put it in the show, but then they realized that most people don't care. But they do care about it in the house. When Elena decided that she was going to do this thing, for whatever reason, it took them like 2 hours before they gave her the key to actually do it. And that was all that anyone in the house was talking about for the next 2 hours. Like, this is, you know, we always forget because we talk about it and we look at the excitement on the TV, but like, it's boring in the house 90% of the time. And this is one of those things that they get really, really excited about. They were talking for hours about which one was she going to choose, purple or orange, and what should her strategy be. And I made a tweet last night about like, this whole box thing is a really good class on why operant conditioning works. Like, it's because they develop all of these strategies that are completely meaningless. Like, production is just going to put one thing in one thing. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But they already know. They say, well, Paul won with orange the first week. And then the next time it was purple. But then the next time it was purple again. And then they're like, well, Elena, your hair is kind of purple, but your favorite food is mac and cheese. And that's orange. And like, they're developing this whole cultural religion over what they think. And it's a really good class on psychology. We see this in animals. We see this in people. We see this in societies. We see this in religions when they develop. It's because of stuff like this, where you can't control what's happening in nature. And so you develop causal explanations for what's happening. And so even after she got the thing, and she's going to have 2 weeks of slop now, they were talking like, oh, you should have gone with this because you weren't eating enough of this food, and production hates you, like the gods hate you. And it's like this whole, it's like a religion.
Yeah. This is clearly what production had in mind, this whole interesting study. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I hope someone's writing it down.
I love it. Finally, Matt and Raven had a quick conversation where they talked about their place in the house. Matt is slowly getting his head more and more in the game. He's talking about like, all right, look, I think we're good next week, regardless of what happens with the Hex. Even if Cody and Jess are still here, I think they'll probably go after Josh, Paul, or Christmas first. Or I don't think he said Christmas, but it'll go after Josh and Paul first, and the Christmas would probably go up on the block before them if anyone else won and decided to target their own group. He feels like okay, we've got our bases covered here, I think we're pretty good. He's thinking in terms of his place in the game and how to move forward with it, and using Paul as a shield in front of him. I like what Matt is doing. I like that he's slowly acclimating to the game. I'm starting to look out for his potential if he continues down this path, especially once jury hits and he feels like he can start playing the game. We might be able to see Matt actually open up and become a player in the game. What do you think?
Matt is the player who is promised, right? It's like there's this prophecy about him. We have never seen any evidence about him being anything good at all, but I'm the same way. I keep saying, like, maybe this is the week where Matt really starts playing the game. Like, maybe he's going to really turn things around. And I'm starting to maybe doubt that day will ever come. But, yeah, I mean, there's still some potential. I think the biggest problem with Matt is that he is using Paul as a shield. He trusts Paul. But I don't think that he will see when Paul turns on them. Like, Paul is using him just as much. And I think Paul, because of his experience or whatever you want to call it, his acumen as a player, I think he would cut Matt and Raven sooner than they would cut him. And so I don't know if they would see it coming.
Yeah.
So to speak.
And that is the problem right now, is that, like, I'm saying this is a potential for the future, but as of right now, he's still doing Paul's bidding. Yeah. Like, he's literally being like, Paul, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Which is annoying. They also talked about how they are really enjoying Alex. They really like Alex, and they really would like her to be on their team and to take her to the final five. So Alex putting in some good work with them. Who knows how valuable that might prove to be down the line, but it's always good to get some additional allies, get them to like you. It can be very valuable. It saved Christmas in week one with Josh. So good job, Alex, getting Matt and Raven. They're valuable pawns.
Yeah, you know, we talked about how Alex kind of misfired her HOH week pretty badly. But I overall, I think that she's playing very well, and I think that she has the potential to continue to be good and get better. This was a girl who was nominated week one. To be fair, so was a third of the house, but she was nominated week one. She told Cody to eat shit, and now she's somebody that everyone likes. She's not really somebody that, as far as I know, is immediately on anyone's radar. And same thing with Whistle, not really. Like, they're both kind of in a pretty good position. I think if they get power again, that they probably will blow it again, but I don't know that they need to get power right now.
Yeah, and the thing I like about Jason is that he's in a similar position to Alex, but he is not as controlled by Paul as Alex is. Like, I like where Alex is, and I like the way that she's been playing the game. I think she has caught on to a lot of things, but she's still too trusting of Paul, and she's still willing to volunteer to go up on the block for Paul. Like, that, she is too far down that road, whereas Jason is a much better mix of where Alex is position-wise, her social game. He's also doing well with his social game, but he's also not going to be volunteering himself for the block. So I like Jason and where he stands right now. So I like where both of them stand, actually. They're in a really great spot. Nobody's really coming for them anytime soon, especially now that Jess and Cody are probably going to be preoccupied with Josh and Paul rather than their beef with Alex. So keep on the lookout for Whistlenut and Alex. They're in a good spot here. But I believe that is our update for the day. This was pretty good. We got some good strategy talk in. Some good odds.
Yeah. Last night was a pretty good night, even though not a lot happened. You know, we always look at the sort of NUE after a big fight, and we're like, oh, maybe the night after the big fight isn't going to be interesting. And we didn't get a lot of drama from the veto. Like, the veto got played yesterday, and we really didn't even talk about that because it doesn't change too much. But there is still some strategy to talk about. I think we're at a sort of crux where the game is wide open right now. A lot can happen. We think the Hex will be used, but maybe it won't. And if it does, we don't know who's going to be put up next. So there's still a lot of potential going forward.
Yes. So we'll see what happens with the rest of the week. We will be live in New York Thursday night when the Hex is probably used. So come out and join us there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on the feeds. Tonight, Karen Singbeal will be on with Brent and Rob to talk about the Sunday night episode after the West Coast airing of that. And also the LFC roundtable will be live at 8 p.m. Eastern with the OG crew. They'll be back. No John, unfortunately. And then, of course, keep on the lookout for the Terran Show. Episode 3 will be dropping on Tuesday. Lots of fun. So look out for that.
Who's the interview? I gotta know
soon. I'll announce it probably today, later in the day. Check my Twitter at Armstrong Terran, and check out John's Twitter at John Krause.
That's correct. And I have to say, I've been loving the Terran Show. Two really good episodes. I'm excited to see how you close out the trilogy.
All right, thank you. All right, thanks everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.